Welcome to the First Draft Club, a podcast to help you write your book with joy, clarity, and maybe a few coffee stains. I'm Mary Atkins. You can find my three novels, When You Read This, Privilege, and Palm Beach, at your favorite bookstore. Each episode is short. We get in and we get out, so you can get back to your life and your writing. Hi, podcast listeners. I am here for an in-between seasons recording because it's a very special occasion and could not pass it up. I am here with Gail Brown, who is a very good friend of mine, a graduate of the Book Incubator, a mentor with the Book Incubator, and a debut novelist. Her novel came out today. This is her pub day, and this is why I'm so excited to be recording today, because it's not very often that you get to hear from an author like live on their publication day. When we say pub day, we mean publication day. So I'm going to be talking to Gail today about her writing journey and her journey to publication. And I want you to tell us a little bit about your book as well, Gail. But just to start with pub day excitement, how do you feel?
So first of all, thank you very much for having me on the podcast today. This is very exciting. Just adding to the excitement of the day. It's very surreal, very exciting. I really had a hard time sleeping last night. And I kept telling myself, it's not like I was going to wake up and there was going to be this massive delivery on my front door and the world was going to change and butterflies were going to be floating around or anything like that. But it's the excitement of knowing that it's available now. No longer is it pre-order and it's out in the world. I feel like it's an animal out in the wild now. You know, anyone can go capture it if they want to. And, you know, for your birthday on social media, you get a lot of happy birthday wishes, but you don't advertise your birthday. So not everyone knows that it's that day, but everyone knows today's pub day because obviously I posted on social media. And so there's been an influx of congratulatory wishes and emails. And it's just been the most amazing experience. And I really don't want today to end. Like, I keep watching the clock thinking, time slow down.
I love that. And I think it's actually a really good example of the importance of promoting your book before it comes out. Because I've heard some authors actually say the opposite, that pub day felt like wah wah, but it's like, well, you got to tell people or they don't know. People don't magically find out about your book. So, and you've done a really good job of telling people. So it's like people actually know that, oh, today's her day. I'm going to reach out and say congratulations and buy it and share that I'm buying it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of authors get nervous that they don't have a platform before they're writing or while they're writing. And it's never too early to start and it's never too late to start. But you don't really have to have this massive platform. But once you really have a book deal, that's when you really start learning how to market and you start creating materials and you get the word out there. And it's just a gentle roll along until you reach pub day.
Yeah. And even for people who, if you're listening, you're like, I don't even know what a platform is. What does that even mean? We can even be talking about your family and friends. It's basically people you know who will want to buy your book because they either love reading books like the one you've written or they want to support you or whatever it may be. Okay, so tell us about the book.
So this book was born, as I like to say, 2 years ago, the idea came to me. And I was watching the show Your Honor on Showtime, the one starring Bryan Cranston. And I was watching how he behaved when his son got in trouble. And I kept thinking to myself, there's no way. There's no way anybody would go to those lengths to protect their child. And then I really started thinking about it. My son was getting ready to go off to college. And I thought, all kinds of things can happen while he's no longer in the nest. And what would I be willing to do to protect either of my children? You know, if one of them got in trouble, how far would I be willing to go? Mm-hmm. And so that was the question that I really wanted to explore. And I just started writing. And the story kind of just told itself to me. And it's really about a mother who goes to great lengths to protect her son when he is named a person of interest in a missing persons case. It's a fellow fraternity brother that goes missing, and the mother, you know, she's very empathetic and she wants to get involved. But then when she finds out her son might have had something to do with it, her whole world gets turned upside down, because then it becomes, do you trust your child? And what if your child really was involved? What do you do with that?
Yeah, it's great. It's such a great thriller. I've read it. It's a, like a real page turner. You can't put it down. And will you tell people what is it called and where do they find it? And we'll put links in the show notes too.
Okay, so it's called A Deadly Game by Gail Brown, and it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and you can go to my website and click the link there to order, and it's also on my publisher's website.
Great. So we'll put those links below. So can we turn to talk a little bit about your writing journey? Because I think you and I both had careers in other fields before.
Yes.
We have published novels. So will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I got my degree in education. I was an elementary school teacher for many years. And then I switched gears and went to work with my family. They owned a restaurant franchise. And so I went and did the bookkeeping for them and some HR and marketing while I was raising my kids, so that I was a little more flexible not to need to put my child or both children by then in daycare. But I've always loved writing. Writing has always called to me. I have blogged for probably 15 years or so.
Oh, cool.
I remember falling in love with writing. It's so vivid, the memory, in third grade. And this is definitely aging me, but we had the Ditto machine. It wasn't a Xerox machine. It was the actual Ditto machine with the ink. And I used to just love the smell of the paper. And there would be a picture in the corner, and our teacher would say, write a story. And I mean, I would fill up the front and the back and then another couple pages. I mean, I just have always loved writing. And I wrote a children's book, which is still sitting in a filing cabinet. I would like someday for it to see the light of day, but I turned to adult novels in 2021.
Wait, I want to slow down here, because I think this is really interesting. And I think this is where you did something that a lot of people are thinking about doing or struggling to do. Like, you decided you were going to write a novel. And
yeah.
Right. And you had been,
yeah.
So you'd been blogging, you wrote a children's book. What did, when you had the novel idea or wanted to write the novel, what did that feel like? Like, did you have any insecurity about it, or how did you go about?
For sure. Yes.
What did you do? Like, did you take a class? What did you do?
So when I decided that I wanted to write a book, it was after the pandemic had settled back down, and I was working at a preschool at that time. And this, you just have this burning desire. And I said, I really just want to take a swing at this. The idea of going back into the classroom wasn't my first love any longer. And somebody said to me, if you could do anything in the world and money didn't matter, it doesn't matter, just pick what you would love to do. I was like, write a book. And they said, you didn't even hesitate. They said, some people are like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And they're like,
yeah.
You didn't even flinch. Why are you not doing it? And I said, I don't know. Fear.
Yeah.
Insecurity. Can I? I don't know how. What do you do? And so I went to my partner, Pat, and I said, you know, I'd really like to write this book. And he said, let's go buy a desk. And that was it. We went and bought a desk, and he supported me 100%. And I sat down in February of 2021, and the story spilled out. It just flowed every day. I made sure to write. I had not taken, well, that's not true. I had taken some formal classes while I was a teacher. They offered writing camps. And anytime they had one, I signed up and I participated in those because I loved writing so much. So I did attend many workshops over the year. And then I remember when I wanted to write a children's book years and years ago, I did one by mail. You would send the pages, an editor would look at it, it would come back, and
oh,
back and
cool.
forth we would go. So I guess I did have some training along the way.
But not an adult novel, not an adult novel class.
No.
Now, and this was women's fiction, this first novel that you wrote.
Correct. Yeah.
And you, I know from just knowing you, like you're also a very big reader. You read a lot of fiction and probably had at the time too. I mean, I didn't know you then, but yeah.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know. Do you feel like that helped you kind of?
Oh, absolutely. Helps. The more you read, I think the more proficient you become at your own writing.
Yeah.
It changed the way I look at books now too. So sometimes I will pick up a book purely to study craft. And other times I pick up a book purely to read for pleasure. So I'm kind of having to divide between the two now. But for sure, you're subconsciously learning story structure, pacing, sentence structure while you're reading.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I feel like, because same thing, when I sat down and wrote my first draft of my first novel, I hadn't taken a class in novel writing. And so sometimes when I tell the story, I'll be like, I had no idea what I was doing, which is true on one hand. And on the other hand, I had read so many novels. Like I do think that like we ingest so much, even if it's not conscious, about what you're saying, like pacing and how to tell a good story, that I think I have no doubt that it helped, because then as you're writing, you're like, you're intuiting whether you like it or not. You're like, this is too fast. This is too slow. Like, this isn't interesting, because you read all the time.
Right. And you learn what you don't want to write too.
Right.
And how you don't want to write. You know, like I've read some very literary fiction heavy novels, and they're not to me as fast paced. And I like the ones that I can pick up and read on an airplane or on a vacation or on a beach. And so that was what I aimed to write.
And I love that you did that. You did that kind of from the beginning, and not everyone does that. Like lets themselves write the thing that they love to read. But I feel like, I mean, now, you know, you now work with writers and the book incubator with me, and I've done this for a couple of years. I feel like people write their best work when they write what they like to read. Like,
absolutely.
Just let yourself write what you like. Okay. So I interrupt a lot. So you sat down at the desk that Pat got for you, and you wrote this book.
I did. And it came, so my first drafts tend to come out very quickly. But then that leads to a lot more revising on the back end. Because to me, the first draft is just a hearty outline of the story. I'm just trying to get it out of my head, and I try not to judge. But of course, the first time I sat down, I judged away, and it was very stressful. After I completed it, I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, now what? What do you do with this? You know, I had 116,000 words. What do you do next?
Oh, I didn't know it was that long. I didn't remember it being that long. Wow. Yeah.
But so I went to the internet, and of course there is the rabbit hole of do this, don't do this, do that, don't do that. And I was so confused. And somebody in one of the chat rooms said, you know, to somebody else, maybe you should hire a writing coach. And your name happened to be in there. And so I was like, well, what's a writing coach? I don't need a writing coach. I know how to write. I just wrote a whole novel. And Pat said to me, well, even the greatest athletes of all time have coaches. You know, Tom Brady, he's still a quarterback. He's got a coach. Simone Biles, Olympic winner, still has a coach. Michael Phelps. And I was like, yeah, good point, right? Like, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you don't need a coach.
Yeah.
And so then I found you and your program, and it was just the perfect fit.
Hmm. Yeah, I have so many thoughts on that. I feel like at some point I also had a realization like that, basically the same realization that like you need someone to help you get better at what you're doing well and recognize what you're doing well and recognize what your strengths are. I mean, I've never been an athlete, so I'm like, should not even go there for analogies because they're not going to be accurate. But I assume that that professional athletes' coaches help them lean into their strengths.
Right.
And I feel like so much of helping writers is doing that and not there's so much writing instruction out there that help that basically tries, I don't know, to make people into like a certain kind of cookie cutter kind of writer, I think. And it ends up feeling discouraging and leads to people not trusting their vision as opposed to trusting their vision. So, which is the only way to write well is if you trust your own vision, because you're the only one who has the vision, right? So anyway, yes, I'm very glad that you found me. Long story short.
I am very glad I found you. And using your program helped me whittle that 116,000 words down to 84,000 words, because there was a lot in there that had nothing to do with the heart of the story. Yeah. It was good writing and good story, but it didn't belong in that story.
Yeah. And it's not too like, you didn't do anything wrong by having, like, sometimes I think people when they're new to this think like, oh, if like she had to cut half of, well, not half, but like that big of a chunk of her first draft, like she probably did something wrong in writing her first draft. Like, no, you didn't. Like, this is just what the process is. You write a first draft. It's going to be way too long or way too short or way too much of XYZ. And then you fix that in revision. And this is just part of the process.
Right. And I think this is important for a lot of writers out there who are starting out or still floating, trying to find an agent or a publisher, is it's not always your first book that lands the deal. And while I was waiting for that book to simmer, to do my gut read, my very first one, that's when I started the program, the book incubator. And that's when I wrote the book that is out today. And I used the four notebooks method, and it did help keep the story very cohesive in the first draft. But it's not my first novel that got me my agent and my publisher. That's still sitting somewhere, and maybe it'll see the light of day. I don't know, because I've written more novels and manuscripts since then, and I like them better because the more I write, the better writer I am becoming.
Yeah. And we want that, right? Like we want to be improving.
Right.
I mean, that's ideal. Like it's the other way around, or even just being stagnant would also, like both of those would be disappointing. Yeah. So you wrote your thriller. So you set the women's fiction novel aside. You wrote your thriller. And then what happened after that?
That, so I was querying while, at, you know, like I was kind of doing dual things. So while the thriller was sitting before I started revising, then I went back to the women's fiction, revised, and started querying agents. And I was getting responses, but no representation. And then I went back to the thriller and revised it. And I started pitching that one June 1st. And middle of July, I had an offer from an agent. Now, the other one I had been pitching for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to keep myself from going down a deep, dark emotional hole, I try to motivate myself by creating a jar. I called it my rejection jar, or my no thank you jar. And every time I got a rejection, I put a dollar in that jar. And when I finally got an agent, I took the money that I had collected and I bought a bottle of champagne worth that amount of money and celebrated.
I love that. How much was it? Are you willing to share?
Yes, absolutely. It was 80 rejections and one acceptance, but it only takes one.
It's such a good lesson. It's very similar to my numbers. I mean, I ended up querying like, I think it was 70 over, in my case, it was a few years, but yes, it only takes one. In your querying journey, do you have any advice for people about finding an agent? Like, what did you find helpful or less helpful? What any advice you have?
Sure. So I think the biggest takeaway for me was that our work is a sales pitch. The agents are in the business to make money. It's really a business transaction. And when I realized that I get solicitation calls all the time, I either don't answer them, or as soon as I hear the bot on the other end, I hang up. And that's kind of what this is like. We're pitching something that they don't know. They don't know us. It's our product. And they really cannot respond to every single query that comes across their desk. Yeah. And so I learned not to take it very personally. And that really helped my emotional state.
Yeah. And you had the jar.
Yes.
And I think like it's so important. And this is so in January in our program, the Book Incubator, we are launching something called the Publication Room, which Gail's going to be leading with me and our colleague, Liz. And we will talk a lot about this kind of stuff. But I think what Gail just said is really, really valuable to understand that like when you write to an agent or publisher, you are offering them a sales pitch. It's a sales pitch for yourself and your book. And if you come across like someone who's sending out a mass email to a million people who hasn't, you don't have a specific reason for reaching out to them, it doesn't feel personal, they're going to treat you the same way, which is like another number. And so it's just not a good use of your time because it's a waste of your time because you're going to get overlooked that way. Like you're not likely to be taken seriously if that's your approach.
Right.
Like these are people on the other end. And so, and it's hard for authors, which is why we're doing the publication group. We're teaching people because we aren't naturally our own salespeople. Like we have a harder enough time writing the book in the first place. And then you have to become like the salesperson for it. Like that's a totally different hat. That's like suddenly you have to be proficient in this other thing that you're like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to sell something, especially myself.
Right.
But you kind of have no choice. So you have to learn how to do it well. But one way to do it not badly is to not act like a bot.
Right. Right. And you do need to really research the agents because it is a relationship.
Yeah.
And I say oftentimes it's like being on match.com. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, match.com.
Yeah, but I used to be on it. I don't know if it is now, but I was on it once upon a time.
Yeah, I don't know what the platform is these days, but it's like a dating site, really it is. Mm-hmm. And you don't want just any agent, you want the right agent.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what are you working on now?
So I finished a rom-com that is on submission now, and I am currently working on a mashup. So I've been trying to find the exact genre that I love because I do love thrillers and suspense, but I also like comedy. And so I was like, how do I marry these two together? And then I'm not sure if you're familiar with the author Elle Cosimano, but she is like the trailblazer in this. And she wrote this whole series called Finley Donovan. And when I read it, I'm like, this is it. This is exactly what I am trying to accomplish. Her tone, her style,
cool.
The genre mashup.
Yeah.
And Jana Ivankovic, she's very much like that too. So I am starting a new series. I'm working on the first book now. I'm currently revising it. And it's about a professional bridesmaid. She's a former teacher. And if you don't know that professional bridesmaids are a job, they are, can be very lucrative. Some of them earn up to $150,000 a year. So it's not a bad job to have. And so this young lady will go from city to city, wedding to wedding, and something's always going to go wrong. Like in the first one, there's this, it's just one mishap after another, and she's constantly trying to fix things, and she doesn't want the bride to know what's happening. Somebody's basically sabotaging the wedding, and she has to fix it and figure it out before everything falls apart.
I love it so much. I love learning about this new job too from
you. Isn't it crazy? I know.
And it's a really fun, it sounds like a really fun recurring character. Well, thank you, Gail. This has been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I hope the rest of your pub day is as wonderful as the first part has been.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you and the Book Incubator have done. And that was the other thing I was going to say about when you're querying and pitching. I think it's super important to have a community around you. And I think that was invaluable to me to have everyone from this program behind me.
No, agreed. So it can be very lonely otherwise. it can still be very lonely, but it helps to have the community for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Gail. And thanks everyone for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
If you're still listening, I'm guessing that you are writing a book or want to write a book. And if so, I want to talk to you, because when I'm not writing myself, my mission in life is to help writers write their dream books. I love it. I live for it. Because before I published my novels, I had to figure out how to write one. And it wasn't easy. None of the writing classes I had taken actually showed me how to write a novel. It wasn't until I had a newborn baby and only a couple of hours a day to write that I actually came up with a process that worked. I wrote my entire novel during my 8-week maternity leave, which sounds crazy, but it's true. And now I teach that process in my program, The Book Incubator, and it's worked for dozens of other writers. So if you're curious to know more and to see if this program might be the right fit for you, I have a free video walking you through my process, both for writing a book and for teaching how to write a book. And you can get it by going to thebookincubator.com and just telling me a little bit about yourself and the kind of support that you're looking for, your book idea. So just go to thebookincubator.com, fill out the short form, and you will hear from me within 72 hours. Happy writing. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.